Welcome back to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. I am so excited about the show that we have ahead of us. We have some phenomenal information that could save lives. I am Dr. Michael Karlfeldt, and with me I have my co-host,
Tanya Hobo.
You're going to need to tune in to what's going on today. The information is jam-packed, so don't step away.
So excited. Let's go ahead and get this started. Well, welcome, Jess. We are so excited to have you on our show today and super excited to hear this quite a bit of a big journey for you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for reaching out and inviting me to be on this podcast. I'm super excited.
Well, you seem to have kind of you've had this long journey, and then all of a sudden now you come to this place where you have the final piece, like you're saying, final piece of the puzzle, and that's gonna fix it. But I'd love to kind of take it back, you know, before we get to this, take it back a little bit to where it all began.
Yeah, for sure. I was 14, a multi-sport athlete. I was a high level in soccer on the ultimate frisbee team that went to nationals. And I was just this really athletic kid who was very academically inclined, and I was a little bit of an overachiever.
And it's funny, most patients that we, or most people that we interview, they tend to be the type A overachiever. It's interesting how that's correlation.
Right, kind of like when we get Lyme, we get it really good.
Yeah, exactly. Why do
we don't just get one thing, we get all the co-infections.
Yeah, let's hit it all the way. Yes.
All or nothing.
Right. Okay, so you were 14 in school, and life was great. You were very active and busy. And then what was the bombshell that dropped?
It was kind of a slow decline for me, actually.
Okay.
There was, in retrospect, this whiplash injury that I had through sports. But at the time, we had no idea about it. And my first indication that something was wrong was that I was just so anxious and tired. It was unlike me. I wouldn't want to go to my practices. My body was starting to slow down, and I just didn't understand, because I would be practicing sports like 5 days a week and running all this time. Then over time, I got just more exhausted and more exhausted. I thought it could be like my period or something like that, but something was definitely wrong when I started having shingles. That was like my first indication that like my body wasn't okay.
Okay, so you had shingles.
And the shingles, I mean, was it just kind of the whole body shingles, or where did it hit you? Because that can be pretty painful.
I mean, I've never experienced shingles before. I've been told that it's like older disease, something or other. But it was pretty, what I think would be mild. It was just a small patch under on my rib, on my left side. And then that prognosis was, oh, you would be fine in 2 weeks. You're going to get better. So then that 2 weeks turned into like a month, and I was still not doing well. And I was like trying to tell my parents that something is wrong and I need more help.
And so what did they do then? I mean, what was the next step? Did you just kind of wait it out more, or?
Yeah, I think through my GP here in Canada, we tested for Epstein-Barr virus, and I tested positive through that. And then that prognosis was again, like another 2 weeks and you're going to be fine, you're going to be over it. And then we waited again for like another like 6 months or something. So 8 months total since the shingles, and I was still not better. So we were trying to work.
And meaning you had still had the kind of outbreak on your rib, or were there other physiological symptoms that you were dealing with?
Oh, yeah. I think within 3 months of getting shingles, it went away. That was the only skin issue that I had. Other than that, it was just a lot of brain fog and a lot of fatigue. Like I would go home halfway through the day, maybe stay for two classes at school, and then I would need my mom to come pick me up. And I remember asking her, like, how the heck do I study? Like, I've been doing this for years now, but I just don't remember how to read. I don't remember how to, like, just my whole reading comprehension just was thrown out the window. And I was just so confused because this has never happened to me before.
How scary. Yes. You're probably 14, 15 year old. I mean, how scary when that was taking place.
Yeah, it was very traumatic. I'm feeling very anxious just reliving that memory now.
Yeah, because here you are. I mean, you're being an overachiever and being so, excelling in so many different areas. And then also you have then your whole life ahead of you. I mean, you're 14, 15 years old. You got many, many more years of studying left. I mean,
yeah.
And then all of a sudden you lose that ability. Yeah.
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 So very emotionally traumatizing. And a lot of Lyme is that way. A lot of people deal with their emotions. So what happened after that? Did you just keep telling your parents that something was wrong and you just went searching or?
Yeah, at this point, it was my mom that was taking me to appointments, and we eventually found this dysautonomia clinic, which is in our local Vancouver hospital, and it was in the children's ward and stuff like that. So their prognosis of dysautonomia was that I would grow out of it. I have dysautonomia of adolescence. It's something you get when during puberty. You're going to be fine, just like, as long as you drink more, increase your salt intake, your water intake, and exercise more, like you want to exercise more, you're going to be fine. So
you can't even make it through school. How are you going to exercise?
Yeah. Like I was trying to tell them, I'm an athlete. I practice and work out 5 days a week at least. And I have gym class every other day through school. And the only thing they could tell me was push yourself. So I did.
Wow. It's so sad to hear that.
So how long did this go on that you're just kind of pushing yourself without any answers?
I would say I was pushing myself for 5 years.
5 years?
Wow.
Yeah, from the time I was 14 to the time up to my diagnosis in 2020, where I'm now, I was 18, 19, like that year.
Yeah.
Wow. You are one strong cookie.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, that's, and especially for anybody with Lyme to have to push themselves beyond their limits that they know they really can't be doing, but have no other options because you're believing your doctor. But for somebody at your young age, that had to have been so incredibly hard. So if Lyme has done anything for you, Jess, it is going to make you tackle the world.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
If you're able kind of just with your mental fortitude to be able to kind of push through these 5 years, I mean, can you imagine when you're feeling well and have that mental fortitude? I mean, can you imagine what you can do?
Oh, absolutely unstoppable. They're going to be scared of me.
Exactly.
Absolutely. I love it.
I'm shaking a little bit here. I'm nervous. No, just kidding. So when you finally, just one question before the, when they figure it out. So how did you do scholastically? I mean, how were you? Were you able to push and kind of operate at that same level? I mean, how did you do?
Yeah, so when I was 14 and I was still going to school, still doing multi-sports at the time, as my limitations grew with this illness, I lost my ability to do sports. 2 years later, so in my grade 10 year, I was just going to focus on school because that was my main priority at that point. I dropped all my extracurriculars. I just took the core classes that I needed to graduate. And eventually, which was like, I don't know, I think math, English, science, you know, four main right. ones that you kind of have to do. And then that was even too strenuous to do in person. So I eventually moved to Brain Boost, which is a tutoring center here. And I completed my whole high school education online. So my mom would drive me like two blocks to the tutoring center, and I would go sit in with the tutor for like 2 hours and then do all my work with them. And I graduated, I think, with a 90 average, I think.
That's amazing. I mean, wow. that's an A, you know.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, yeah. But you definitely needed that individualized attention and the distraction from the other students away, and just getting up and having to show up somewhere for, you know, how long does school last? 6-7 hours a day?
Yeah.
So that probably, you know, another emotional part for you, my goodness, because, you know, your age, you want to be out having fun with your friends and interaction, and here you are having to do school, even just all alone, so to say. So, wow. Well, congratulations on graduating. That's most
you.
People don't graduate in 90% and they're pretty healthy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they have no reason. I mean,
no excuses.
Exactly. So how did you finally find out? I mean, after 5 years, I mean, what did you, the journey continue, or did you just say, Mom, I pushed myself enough, we got to figure something out? I mean, what changed?
Yeah, I was go, go, go all the time. Just with school, I had to head down, force myself through. I was pushing myself so much that it was such a gradual decline over the 5 years that I didn't even notice that there were daily headaches coming in. There were migraines. I was becoming light and sound sensitive. So in 2020, my graduating year, I'm getting a little emotional as I.
That's okay.
You live this moment.
No, you take a moment. I'm just so grateful that you were able to finish out your high school years, and you just deserve the biggest pat on the back, because it was challenging in every possible way, and you made it through. And so, just be proud of yourself for that, because I don't know you, but I'm super proud of you.
Yeah, that's incredible. I mean, that's absolutely incredible. And I mean, I just know the teenagers that, you know, just say school is hard. They don't even know what hard is, you know, when they see your journey. And yeah. So I mean, that is incredible. So you really, really should feel good about your accomplishment. You know, so that's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah. So my graduating year was 2020. The pandemic hit. We were online, and I think it was truly when everything shut down was when I could feel. I no longer had that adrenaline that kept me going. It was just pain everywhere. I was so weak that. Like, I would try to cook my own food. I want to be as independent as possible. I'm at that age, you know.
You can do everything, right?
Yeah. But as I saw my friends grew more independent, my body kept failing me. And I was so weak that I would be cooking myself instant ramen because I could barely stand the 3 minutes it would take to heat it up. It just became a huge problem. I was in bed, had blackout curtains. I didn't see my friends or family, anyone in my room for like a good 8 months or something, because it was just so bad. So I wrote my mom a letter in an email saying, I need your support. I need more help. Yeah. And so my parents... She showed that letter to my dad, and the rest is history. They realized this was such a big issue. I asked for a wheelchair, and they jumped on board. And as parents do, they banded together and became an unstoppable force for me.
I love it. I love it. And that's what parents are for, the good ones anyways, right? We reach out for help because we're at, especially at your age, we're at that age where we can just do anything. But when you, you know, you have to be that vulnerable to actually ask for a wheelchair and to reach out to your parents for help. I'm just so grateful that they were there for you because I know there's probably listeners out right now that are listening that had no one to support them. And so I'm just grateful when I look back on my journey too that I had just an incredible support team from my friends and family. And I'm so grateful. And I think it makes a big difference. But whether you're alone or not, you can, everybody can beat this disease. So they came to your rescue. So where did you guys start?
So my dad works in the brain injury field. So he was like, it's concussion. All your symptoms are concussion. We're going down this route. So we go through a lot of different doctors, physicians, physiotherapists, chiropractors. Along this journey, we got re-diagnosed with POTS and dysautonomia. I got a vestibular concussion because that's the way my symptoms have manifested itself. It was neurological Lyme at this point. It's been like, what, 6 years? And we also got like MRIs, x-rays, because we were like, is it cancer? Like, we don't know what it is. Right. Like, we have no clue. So finally, one day we were looking at all my health records and looking back at all the tests that I've done. And we come back to the Lyme test that is standard in Canada. I've forgotten which one it is at this point. It's the old one anyway that barely anybody tests positive for.
Yeah, the Western blot. Yeah.
Yes, that one. And we asked the GP for that record and he gave it back and it said it was slightly positive back in like 2016, the second year that I was sick.
Yeah. And slightly positive, like you mentioned, the likelihood of it being false negative is extremely high. So just a slight positive is a very strong indication. Not for a regular GP, but for people that know Lyme, they know that this is a strong indication.
Yeah, and the note that my GP said he went on was that if you've traveled to Europe, do another test. So obviously I had not gone to Europe, so we kind of threw that in the backseat, and we were never notified that it was ever positive. Mm-hmm. So anyways, we showed that test to another, like a mutual friend of ours who's also a doctor in the US. And he said, oh my God, what are you doing? If it was positive, I would treat right away with IV antibiotics. Like, you should get on that right now. And my parents were like, oh my gosh, we have to get on this right now. So we got in contact with a local Lyme literate naturopath who can order antibiotics here in BC. And we have started treated, I think we started October of 2021, we started treatment and I tested positive through like Igenics and Armin Labs just to make sure, because we weren't sure if that was the cause, but after three tests, positive tests, we were very clear that like, yeah.
So you said October 2021, so that would have just been 3 months ago, or was it October 2020?
Oh, yeah, it might have been 2020.
Okay.
Dates are mixed up in my head.
No problem.
That's okay. Yeah,
I don't even know what year we're in now.
No, exactly.
I forgot we're in 2022 still.
Yeah, sometimes I know where I'm at, but that's very rare. No, just kidding. So did they start an IV antibiotics, or what did the naturopath, I mean, what was the course of treatment?
So we don't have access to IV antibiotics here in Canada, or at least I didn't, because I didn't test positive through their testing. So we did oral doxycycline, I think 400 milligrams. We did azithromycin. We did some mix of antibiotics and herbal protocols. I think right now I'm on the Brunner protocol just to make sure everything's like stays in check so I can stay in remission. And then my dad was also doing more research about Lyme. And so we tried hyperbaric oxygen therapy. And we also did, or I also bought myself a Wave 1 machine.
Okay. Yeah.
And what is that?
A Wave 1 machine, I think, uses like EMF is the bad thing. It's something to do. I don't know it very well.
I've seen them. They're roaming all through the Lyme pages out there. Is it some type of PEMF?
Yeah, that sounds familiar. Yeah, all I know is that the goal is to encourage your body's immune system and cells to work better, and it's a frequency specially designed to target only Lyme, like the Borrelia. So the other tick-borne infections they haven't yet discovered yet.
Okay, so it's using kind of like, because yeah, I use a lot of Rife frequencies at my center, where you have specific frequencies for different pathogens, and then by feeding them into the system, you're then actually changing their behavior and also killing them.
Yeah. So I, from my understanding of what you said, it was called the Wave 1.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. From my understanding, what I've read, I think it's a lot like a Rife machine, but it's all set up for you. You don't have to. Do they have them where they can either go on your wrist or on your eyes or your forehead? I think they have a couple styles.
Okay.
And I understood that it treats Lyme. It treats everything but Bartonella.
Okay.
Is what I've heard about it. Again, I don't really know anything about it, but I it sounds like it's a lot like a Rife machine, but it's all dialed in for you. You just snap it on and you're good to go.
Plug and play.
Exactly.
Okay.
Plug and play. We like that.
Yeah. Yes. It's very like easy.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you've Wave 1, and so now you're on the Buhner protocols, Stephen Buhner. What else? You also mentioned kind of the beginning that you're kind of that last final. So having done all of this, how are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling overall a lot better. I no longer live off of instant ramen.
Okay.
I can cook myself some food because I'm stronger now. I have a lot more energy and barely any brain fog. I mean, there still are some days that are a little worse than others, but I'm doing fantastic compared to that 2020 year. And I also attribute it to my other comorbidity, which is called craniocervical instability.
Okay. So you've got rid of the Lyme. You're continuing the Brunner's protocol to kind of keep you maintained because you found this other little piece to the puzzle that could mimic Lyme symptoms that you're actually having an upcoming surgery for. So tell us about how that all transpired.
So in the year 2021 and 2020, when my whole family was doing the search of what the heck is wrong with Jess, we, through the MRIs, we watched, we watched this documentary called Unrest by Jen Brew, which is about chronic fatigue syndrome. And that was a huge inspiration for my mom into researching what happened to her, because her story was absolutely horrific in the way that her chronic fatigue has manifested itself. So after researching her, we found that she had craniocervical instability and had surgery for this. So we were like, what is this? Like, would Jess have it? So my mom looked at my MRI imaging, did there's special measurements that are laid out by a person called Jeff Wood, I believe, and other doctors out there. So we did that measurement on my MRIs, and we found there was like the distance between, this is where my doctor medical my expertise kidding will come in where I will not be able to explain this very well. But essentially, whenever my head is looking down in a flexed position, my spine kind of dislocates itself, or like kind of hits the back of my brainstem. So it dampens my immune system. My ligaments don't hold up my neck correctly. And we know that Lyme can eat away at those ligaments. So we're not sure what came first, whether it was Lyme or craniocervical instability, but either way, like, this condition has greatly caused a lot of my symptoms, because once I started wearing a neck collar to stabilize my neck, a lot of my brain fog lifted. I still had that joint pain from like the Lyme, but I found out that a lot of the symptoms I was experiencing was from cranial cervical instability as well.
So you're hit from both angles at the same time. Yeah, no wonder.
Yeah. And it's amazing that they figured that out, because it sounds like a lot of the things sound like Lyme symptoms, when really they're symptoms of your cervical issue that you have. So you're going to have surgery, and then you're going to be a new woman. Can't stop.
Unstoppable. Yeah. So instead of, you know, what's wrong with Jess, it'll be unstoppable Jess.
Yeah. What can't she do?
Yeah. What can't she do? Exactly.
Be, yes, for sure.
Look at Jess go. Oh, I love it.
Wow. Well, so you definitely have just had, 6, 7, 8 years of this that you've gone through. That is just incredible. And to finally be at this last piece to where you can fully just get your life back, it's got to be such an amazing feeling.
Yeah, I'm so excited. Like, after this surgery, I feel like I'll totally be in my remission. Like, my body will be back as it was when I was 14 years old. Like, I won't have to think about this Lyme thing, because I'm already prepared with all this knowledge that I've learned throughout the years to really keep my body healthy, like through mindfulness and just journaling and not over busying my type A personality. Yes. Will be a huge part of it too. But I'm so excited.
Yes, overachievers and Lyme disease, they kind of don't mix. No. Because when you're sick, you know, when you're looking at that sink full of dirty dishes, you know you can't do them, but you still don't want them there.
No, exactly.
So yeah. It's that was a big struggle of mine, was that I couldn't do things on my own that I wanted to be done, because I was a little bit OCD. And I was embarrassed to let people inside my world to see that possibly my garbage can was overflowing, because I couldn't physically take it outside. So it's, you know, it just really hits home. And Lyme is such an emotional battle as well as a physical battle, is, you know, too. So you've done an incredible journey, and I'm so glad you pushed your parents to help you figure out what is going on and get you to where you are now. So when is your surgery? Is it coming up soon?
Yeah, I'm heading off to Mumbai February 21st, and my surgery is scheduled for March 1st.
Oh, that is so exciting.
Can't come soon enough, yeah. Right? Yeah. Awesome. Well, that's incredible.
Well, thank you, Jess. Thank you so much for sharing your journey. And it's incredible. I mean, what you accomplished is amazing. And I'm so excited, you know, when you're on the other side of this surgery, you know, to be fully functioning as you want to be, you know, as yes. you were before all of this started, because it's been going on for like 30% of your life.
Right? She's yeah. such a baby. That's true.
Yeah. So I mean, we want to kind of make sure that number gets less and less and less and less as we move on.
For sure, it will yeah. be, and I'll achieve my dreams of becoming a counselor for the chronic illness community.
Oh, is that what you're wanting to be?
Oh yeah. After going through chronic illness, feeling voiceless at 14, a girl with no voice, no knowledge of how to advocate for myself, I really want to be the support for another young person going through this who doesn't know how to speak up for themselves.
What amazing goal. I mean, what amazing gift to the world.
And it's beyond a goal, because yeah. you're going to do it.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to be referring people to you that need that extra help in the Lyme community.
Yeah.
So that's amazing. You've turned your journey into something that you're passionate about now. Mm-hmm. And I love to hear that. So best of luck to you on your surgery. You'll
Thank
be in
you.
My prayers. And just go get it, girl, because you are going to take on the world.
Yeah. I love
Thank
it.
You.
Thank you so much for sharing with us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
This podcast is for educational purposes only, and it's not designed to diagnose or treat any disease. I hope this podcast impacted you as it did me. Please subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. There are some excellent shows coming up that you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please take a moment to write a review, and please don't keep this information to yourself. Share them with your family and friends. You never know what piece of information that will transform their lives. For past episodes and powerful information on how to conquer Lyme, go to integrativelymesolutions.com and an additional powerful resource, limestream.com. For Lyme support and group discussions, join Tanya on Facebook at Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. If you'd like to know more about the cutting-edge integrative Lyme therapies my center offers, please visit thecarlfeldcenter.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I hope to see you at our next episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carlfeld.